So, there's different phases I find in the spiritual realm where sometimes it's about the practice, sometimes it's about the processing and the dormancy, and then sometimes it's about the talking, and it's having whatever kind of magical thing happens when you are sharing your ideas with other people. We've had some amazing guests on there who come in with experiences that blow our minds. We're like, what is happening? And we get to have that growth there as well. But that magic all gets to be put in like the communal pot, and then it's like, well, what are you gonna do with that? Welcome to Light in the Fog Podcast, episode 23, the very last episode of our first season. And we are calling it the best worst year of our lives. How can you talk about 2024 without being real? And sometimes real is really hard. So we are giving some significant trigger warnings on this one, y'all. But hey, we're open to the remedy, and 2024 had plenty of that too. So for this last episode of our first season, it's two old friends catching up, throwing some shade, spilling some tea about what it's been, the best worst year of our lives. 2025 promises plenty of reasons to continue lighting it up. So we'll catch you on the flip side for season two.
Hello, cheers, meow meow.
Holy Toledo, it's the end of the year. How did that happen?
What a year it's been. I feel like at the end of each year, like when New Year's hits, I'm like, what did I do this year? What happened? Like every year up till now has just felt so unproductive in some ways. And then this year came along, and that is the complete opposite. New Year's is going to roll around, and I'm going to be like, oh my gosh, I went through so
What?
much, and I did so much. I'm so happy this year's done.
Yeah. And part of that is obviously the astrological, because you can't have this conversation with anybody without them having pretty much that same response that it was a seismic year. It's going to be one of those years that we look back on in the future and we say things changed. 24, 25, that's when everything got really, really different. And unfortunately, that also meant like there's a lot of struggling for a lot of people, and there will continue to be, if not more, struggling for a lot of people. But I'm also seeing miracles like all the time, and it's kind of beautiful and amazing. And I'm thinking like, are people like, are they manifesting this? Is it just that it's their turn? Like, how are some people breaking through and having, it's like with COVID. Like, for some people, it was the worst thing that ever happened to them, the sequester and all of that. And for other people, it was like the best thing that ever happened to them. I feel like we're still drafting that energy.
I agree. I feel like 2024 was the if you think about the harvest, if it was the repercussions from COVID, because COVID never really ended for a lot of people. And it's like the people that couldn't get through for COVID or the things couldn't happen for them. The 2024 was the gap, where enough time had passed, things had been put in motion in 2020 that are now coming full circle in 2024. That was absolutely the case for me. And I think, with the things that happened, it was very hand in hand where the bad had to happen this year for the miracles to come through, and they had to play with each other. And yeah, it's just been an absolutely, absolutely wild, catastrophic, amazing, wonderful,
It's been a
horrible
shit
year.
show,
Yeah,
people.
it has. I was thinking the same thing before this episode started. I was like, we have to swear for this episode.
There's no way to talk about 2024 without fully
No.
embracing the range of our language skills, and that includes F-bombs. Oh
Well, and
my
after,
goodness.
Jen dropped a couple of hers on the episode, I was like, oh, I miss swearing with Trey.
Nice. Yeah. So we just had an amazing conversation with Jen Wild, and like mind-blowing, and so many different subjects were covered, and it just gave me like that hope again. It's like there are wonderful people in my life, there are wonderful people in the world, there's still so much to learn, but like this is to me, this is the only thing that's fun, is just learning and hearing about people's experiences. Like trying to figure out anything anymore, I've just stopped. I think that's 2024 is the year that Trey just stopped trying to figure things out.
That's such a mood though, because like, I don't know, I guess I'm still figuring things out, because like when I, with Jen's episode that we just did, so many things came up for me, and all of them being like I'm here finally, you know, because so much has been put into motion for me the past couple months that has just been so surreal and crazy and really hard to get a grip on. And then, you know, hearing Jen tell her story about just how much she struggled and how much finally started coming through for her, it felt like I'm finally at that precipice of, okay, this is your time to have things come through. Like, this is your time to get above and get afloat. Yeah. And I've known that, but like, I can actually see those dominoes being put in place now. The fact that I've been sober from weed for a few months now, and like, I'll have moments where
I want to applaud, but I know that blows out the microphones. Dude, that is significant. Congratulations.
Poetry hands. Thank you.
That's right. ASL applause.
And like, even the moments where I've been with people and I've smoked haven't been good anymore. And like, I just want to cut it out altogether. I don't really want to do it anymore. And on top of that, being at a job that is actually difficult and is challenging me, is embracing sides of myself that I didn't know were there, and is calling me to practice and maintain my self-care, because that's the only way I'm going to be able to manage this job. It's just like, oh my gosh, like, wow. Cause I've had so many jobs up until now that have just been skirting by, you know, and just like, you just show up, that's the job, and you're there. Whereas this is not that at all. It's so much more than that. And it was really overwhelming and exhausting, and like, can I do this at first? And I feel like that episode with Jen, hearing her talk and seeing how much she juggles, you know, and also understanding. Yes. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Absolutely crazy. She has so much going on and she just juggles all of it. And then I had the reminder of like, oh my gosh, I'm about to hit my 30s here soon. Because I'm about to be.
Wait, I thought you were.
I'm 26, so I'm 27 next year. Okay. Yeah. But like, I feel like 28 is around the corner.
It's like
everybody,
such a 20-something thing to be like, I'm 23. Oh my God, I'm practically 30.
Yeah, but like, I'm almost 28. Like, and everybody in my life is 28.
But you're not. You're 26.
Get out of here. By the time I hit my 30s, I'll have figured this shit out a little bit better, hopefully.
But the stuff you were meant to figure out, the fact that you're paying attention to it, that you have awareness. I mean, that's like such a big, big deal at this point that... rather than just letting bad jobs and heavy emotions and bad relationships kind of dominate things, to actually like engage with them and to figure out like, okay, what am I supposed to learn about them or about myself? And how do I get them out of my life? Like, that awareness is everything. By the time you hit 30, you're going to be like the CEO of a company.
Oh my God. I hope not. Don't put that on me. I would never be the CEO of a company. Hell no. That's a terrible job.
Say never. You don't
that's
know.
Just so much. That's just so much work, know. So much stress, so much like spotlight on me. You know, one of the big things that changed for me this year is like I wanted to become a really famous director of film, you know, and be in the spotlight and be there. And I realized that all of me wanting to be in the spotlight came from me filling that hole of self-love for myself. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm starting to fill it, I'm just like, you know, being the screenwriter in a cottage who just sends her work off and just gets the nice credit at the end of the screen, and every once in a while gets called out to an award show, like, that sounds really nice, you know, like flying under the radar, not really being super known. It sounds nice for the first time in my life, and I would never want to be the CEO, But like, yeah, I feel like,
by the way, you're the co-CEO of this business. What we're doing here is a business. So sorry, sucka.
Listen, we can return to that if we ever hire somebody else.
Oh, I see. So we actually have to have employees and like a bank account and money coming in. And
money coming in. I think those are the actual definite terms of a business. So yes.
But it's not. It's not. Yeah, we are the visionaries of this process. We get to drive it exactly the way we see fit, which has just been one of the most fun rides of my life. And if we decide to turn it into something big and huge that involves employees, that involves like a real graphic designer, that involves a marketing executive, you know, then we will. But meanwhile, this is the show, man. We created something remarkable that I've never not been excited to be a part of this endeavor with you.
I agree. And I feel like, you know, a little while ago, and actually the episode that we released last week, we talked about friends and like what friendships are and how they develop and stuff, and having it be hit that couple year mark before you're like, oh my gosh, this is a friendship, you know. And I feel like the podcast side of this developed for me before the trusting the friendship side of it developed for me, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, I knew you were a friend, but like a friend, not a close friend. Yes, exactly. You know, and there wasn't the give and take of our friendship yet. There wasn't the like the consistency and the reciprocation. And then recently when we had that conversation a couple nights ago, that it was just us and we didn't record, it was like the, oh my God, holy crap moment between us of like, Trey's a friend. Trey's a real friend. And I think you saw it before I did, but yeah. I started to kind of realize it after the dust from this year settled, because this year. But like,
it was a dusty year.
Yeah, but like, I'm really grateful for our friendship and that this podcast,
I get to know you for the rest of my life. I mean, that's a really remarkable thing. And you're only 22, but like, I've been around longer, and let me tell you, my closest friends are the people that I've known since I was 17. And they are some of the friendships that I absolutely cherish the most. Like getting to know somebody for a long time is everything. And if we get to do these kinds of fun things in the meantime, even better, even better. I do think the podcast accelerated it for sure.
I agree. The podcast absolutely accelerated it, especially because we'd have conversations that we not only got to have, but then re-listen to and return to, you know, and like reiterate these deep, intimate moments that we're sharing with each other, because my memory freaking sucks. Like, I don't remember crap. And so then getting to re-listen to our conversations and solidify those memories has been really magical.
Yeah, agreed. And there's so much more to do with it. So I think this is also one of the things that artists and artists who don't work alone in cabins and only show up for the award show, you know, like in filmmaking. you know, and even for those folks who do, there's still a community around that being an artist, it is so much easier, and it's almost imperative to have that support system. And on films, when you hear the folks talk about their experience making a film, they often are not talking about, oh, and then I did wire work and I had to learn this. I mean, obviously those are the things that the studio wants them to talk about, but I promise you what they're thinking about, oh, that day on the set that so-and-so had a birthday and somebody brought, you know, the panda from the zoo, like they're thinking about the community of it and the social memories of it. So this is what people who are not creative don't necessarily get to have. And by creative, I also mean like you can be a mechanic for goodness sakes, that's still creating things, and to have that community. That's how you know you're really doing something wonderful, is because you do get to have that joy.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like that reiterates why I fell in love with art as an idea. And of course, film art, but like what being artistic means to me is about the community, because art brings people together. And of course, car stuff could be considered art. Like being a mechanic could be considered art.
Being an architect. Like, yes. Yeah, like
art is so subjective, but like it's pathwaying these messages from your soul and from your spirit and from your psyche and past lives and higher forces and higher self all into this tangible or sometimes more than tangible thing. And it exists for forever. Like it lasts forever. And it impacts people's lives forever. And it's just something so beautiful and romantic about that.
Oh, I love that. Romantic is the right word, because we're always going to look back on this. Like, no matter what other creative things that you go off and do and that I go off and do, or hey, if there's other things that we decide that we want to do together, we're always going to think about this year as being the year that we did the podcast, the first year of the podcast. It gives me goosebumps. I love it so much.
It's so good. Yeah, definitely. I think about when you first pitched this to me, and I was just like, oh, okay. Like, I didn't even think about that. And
my teacher wants me to do something. I better say yes.
No, that's not how it was. Because I've always had a great admiration for you, you know, and I've always felt really drawn and connected to you. And so when you're like, let's do a podcast, I was like, okay. And it just seemed like a fun idea of something to try. I did not think it was going to stick. You know, and I didn't think it was going to work out well because I
I'm a Capricorn, so there was no way that we weren't going to like knock out at least 10 episodes. Sorry.
No, that's good, because that Leo Capricorn combination is just, it's unbeatable. You know, you just always have so many things going on.
Ask any of us.
It's so true though. Whereas it's like so my Taurus Pisces combination is like, oh yeah, I think I can do this thing. Like, yeah, I'll try it out. Ooh, woo. Pitter patter my little feet into it.
It's perfect, because Taurus is like grounded and it's stubborn. Yeah, that's true. Pisces is like that empathy of being able to read energy and like keep things moving. Like you're working on two really significant levels. It's a perfect combination.
I agree. I do really enjoy being the Taurus Pisces. And then, you know, having the Cancer in there too, of just being absolutely ridiculous. Wow. Yeah. Oh, what a year it's been.
So the podcast obviously is like the seismic number one, for creativity, for like learning new skills, for having faith, you know, for being brave enough. I don't know if you wouldn't know it from as much as I run my mouth, and the fact that I'm a teacher and teaching is all about running your mouth. I don't like to be seen and I don't like to be heard and I don't like to talk about my life. And here I am. I've got 25 hours of me like sharing the core stuff. It was a really, really big deal for me. And possibly the reason, for me to have taken this on.
Yeah. Well, and, I don't know, I guess, like, I, first of all, way to put it, and I agree, like, you have absolutely just grown and changed so much since this podcast started. And our friendship just has these aspects to it that, like, I don't think either of us have come accustomed to in newer friendships. So it's just been very interesting. And for me, I'm just always down for new experiences, and I always try and say yes to things that I can, and my spirits will come in and be like, yeah, that's a good thing. You should do it. But it was you, like you were the spearhead behind this. You were the driving force. You were the one like, let's get it done. And it was after we did those first couple episodes that I was like, hey, I really enjoyed that. Like, I enjoyed that a lot. And after seeing it come together, and I was just like, oh yeah, like this is great. And I also feel like this has been the first time in my life that I've been regularly practicing witchcraft. And of course, it has to come through with somebody else. But like, you know, I don't do spells regularly as much as I should. I don't do rituals as often as I should. I will fall away from it for a while. But like, I haven't felt like I've fallen away from witchcraft. And I was reflecting on that recently. Like, how come? And I think it's because of this podcast, because this podcast is magic. and we pull through so much and we bring so much out. You know,
we're channeling.
Yeah. And it's also helped me become more comfortable hearing my own voice, which you said would happen. So I appreciate that. But like,
good.
Yeah.
You have a marvelous voice for this, my dear. Oh, marvelous
voice. Thank you. I appreciate it.
So, you know, there's different phases I find in the spiritual realm where sometimes it's about the practice. Sometimes it's about the processing and the dormancy. And then sometimes it's about the talking, you know, and it's having whatever kind of magical thing happens when you are sharing your ideas with other people. We've had some amazing guests on there who come in with experiences that blow our minds. We're like, what is happening? And we get to have that growth there as well. But that magic all gets to be put in like the communal pot, you know, and then it's like, well, what are you going to do with that?
Yeah, well, and I feel like for me, you know, my throat chakra is really, really strong. And so I've just always wanted to share and wanted to connect. And my magic has always been a big part talking. And I've never really had a consistent place to do that before because people are just so, they're different. And also, not to say
Muggles
anything bad.
Muggles don't want to hear it. Sorry.
Muggles don't want to hear rude? It, but also like, no, but like.
And that's fine. People... That's their jam. No judgment. Muggle.
Well, and like, you know, everybody's on a different journey than you. And I've always been surrounded by people who are of a similar physical age as me. And sometimes that's just not it for me. You know, like they're experiencing their own things and they're not always ready to talk about it. And so having somebody that I can consistently talk to who is of a different path and then has had more time in this life and has sorted through the physical stuff a little bit more, but also is still always eager to learn has just been so constructive for me. Like, oh my gosh, this is what I've needed for so, so, so long. So thank you. But like, yeah.
Yes. And you were what I needed for sure. There's a reason why I've always been drawn to teaching younger populations, but not too young, because I need the fusion of the curiosity for them to know enough about their interests and to be able to express those interests. That really kind of comes in around 12. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like 12 to 25, well, 26 apparently is really... It's a magical, magical time because if you haven't, I don't know, it's like everything is new and there's no limits to what you pull in except really, really, really like what limits you end up putting on yourself. But those things still sneak in there. And when you get older, a lot of times people will sort of choose the five things that they do. And the five things are usually like family, and family can be like the top three things, you know, and then their stock portfolio slash job. Like the older you get, you get more and more and more concerned about your money. And that ends up occupying a lot of your time, and then like your health, and then that's kind of it. And they wonder why people end up lonely, and they wonder why people end up kind of being stagnant. And it's because they've put everything they had into, it doesn't even matter what the things were, but it was only those things. And now those things require so much more from them. And I don't have any of that. I don't have family. I don't have a stock portfolio. I barely have a job at the moment. So it's like curiosity just gets to let rip. And we have really gone to some remarkable places that I would have never gotten to investigate and to, you know, hear about and explore if we hadn't done this amazing thing.
Yeah, I agree. And I've learned so much about myself that I never would have gotten to learn had I not done it, you know, and how much I'm willing to, like you said, put myself out there and just put the effort into something consistently that is a choice, you know, because like working, getting money isn't a choice. Like it is, but it's a requirement.
We live in a capitalistic society, blah blah blah.
Yeah, but like this has been a choice. This has been no, let's keep doing it. Let's figure it out. And I think us also having the flexibility behind it of like this has just started off friendly, which I know with us growing, that's going to start to change a little bit. But I hope that we can still keep some amount of that, like, oh, when crap happens, and like, sometimes the episode's going to get released on Thursday. Sometimes it's going to be Friday. Sometimes it's just going to skip a week because stuff came up.
Because, oh, well.
Yeah.
<That's right. laughs> Hey, until we have a paycheck and somebody's like demanding things right. of us, of course we're going to do it exactly the way it needs to be done for us.
Well, by the time we have a paycheck for it, if this is paying the bills, then like, you know, I'll be able to say screw it to everything else. Yeah. Wonderful.
So I think that part of the feedback session that we're doing here with our listeners listening in is, you know, it's an invitation to, I don't know, to look at not just what 2024, because I'm doing that thing that I do. Sorry, calming down, slowing down. When we do a review, it often is we go and we hit like the negative things. And we talk about like the big struggles, and trust us, there have been the struggles. But this is a space for joy and for fun and amazement and amusement. And I really, really hope that everybody at home has a space like that, that they, if they had something coming into 2024, or if they built something, or if they have intentions to build something, the more joy, the better, you guys. This is a show about energy. And if there's anything that Jenny and I can attest to, is that the energy is what changes the world. We changed our world.
Yeah, definitely. I really like that. And I think when we were first pitching this idea of reflecting on the year, it definitely was going to at first be like, oh, here's all the crap that we went through. But, you know, I started off today in a really bad headspace. And then the Jen interview just really, really did a 180 for me. And I am of the space where I would like to reflect on the positives of this year and the things that we both learned. Because, oh my gosh, there was so much, like so much good came from this really tumultuous year, you know, and so much good has come from these past 4 years of hell. And I'm really grateful for all of it because I wouldn't be here otherwise. You know, and I wouldn't be.
And you guys know us. We're not sunshiners. We're not the toxic positivity people. We don't believe.
Oh, gosh, no.
If you just think it into being, you know, and wave your magic wand, that's just not where Jenny and I come from. But to have gotten to this side of things and to be like, that sucked, not doing it again. This is what I'm taking forward. And it's the not doing it again portion. Again, it's the awareness. So you have a crappy experience, or I don't know, several years of them. And then it's like, okay, how do I avoid having to experience this before? And then is there anything I could do for my community so that maybe they don't have to go through more shit show?
At least yeah. That's me. No, but I agree. Like, I don't know. I feel like we've talked about that light at the end of the tunnel and where I realized that maybe came from. And I still have to delve into that more of myself and figure out which entity is there and understand who it is. I have to know who it is. Yes. But
it's Tinkerbell.
It's God, that'd be amazing. Well, we know it's a he. But
I think Tinkerbell is absolutely fluid.
Oh, you're right. How dare I put a gender on Tinkerbell?
Just because somebody put a skirt on her doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, what the heck? But I've always tried to look at the brighter side and the bigger picture of things as much as I can, because what else are you taking from things? Like, if you're just taking the bad all the time, it's just going to compound and pull you down, and it's going to make the future so much worse for you. And yeah, inevitably there are going to be bad things that are going to happen to you in the future. Deaths that still need to be had, losses that still need to be had, heartbreak and turmoil and tears and trauma that still needs to be had. But like, if you're just focusing on that and you're just looking forward to those moments, you're missing so much, you know, and so much can pass you by and so many amazing lessons can pass you by. And it really feels like that has been one of my big mission statements, is like, take the good with the bad, you know, and recognize that both are there, and recognize that that paradox of they both have to exist simultaneously. And if you're only just focusing on one without the other, like, you're missing the point.
Yeah. That was really beautiful. Thank you for that. A couple things came in, and I'll probably only remember one because that's in my balance. One of the things that I did a lot of in 2024 was listening, because I'm always self-educating. That's just part of me. I'm always wanting to hear lectures and, you know, take in nonfiction. And my focus, and I've been taking classes, like psychic classes. And it's some of the information that's really come through that's been so impactful is this idea that, let me see if I can get this right. My goal, despite my trauma, despite my PTSD and my CPTSD, which means that I tend to lead with depression and anxiety. And when I'm not depressed, I'm a very chipper person. I'm a very optimistic person. It's wild. Like, oh my God, who I could have been had I not been screwed up with so badly in my childhood. But this idea of like, and part of it is like being older and looking back and being like, okay, well, I did that. Oh, I did that. Oh, I did that. Oh, I did that. And if there's one value, frankly, in being older, is that you get to try all these different adventures. And this is how I look at life now, is that even if something goes horrible or a bummer or not the way you planned, et cetera, et cetera, it's just an adventure. It's just another human experience. And it's like, okay, well, so I did that. Also moving along. And it's to me, the, what has been most significant for me in the last few years is figuring out how to get above enough of my trauma that when something does go wrong, it doesn't trigger it. And it doesn't put me, you know, into the pit. And that I can give it a little bit of space and be like, we'll decide tomorrow how we're going to react to that. And then if you can give it some space, then instead of reacting, you're responding. You've had a chance to like process and think about it. So for me, it's been really a lot about mental health stuff. I think I finally accumulated enough of other people's wisdom, but also enough support from healthcare practitioners that, like, I'm not terrified anymore of the things that used to trigger me. Because if they do trigger, I also know I have tools. Then okay, then I can get myself back into remission. Whereas before, it was so out of control, Jenny. Like, the PTSD was completely driving the show. And now I feel like I get to have a more soulful experience because I've done the work to be able to get above it.
Yeah, well, and good for you. Like, that's such a huge point to reach. And, you know, we've talked about your journey getting to that point, but it's been a long time coming. You've really, really been fighting.
54 years.
Yeah, you've been working hard towards it, you know, and to get those glimmers of inner peace, to get those glances of, oh, this is what calmness and sanctity can look like for me, you know. It's really, really beautiful and magical, and I'm really proud of you for getting to that point, because it's not a point a lot of people reach in their lifetime, you know?
And it's true.
It's a journey and a lesson that takes many lives to get to, you know, and how beautiful that this is that lifetime for you, that of understanding that this is the other side, this is the greener grass. And how beautiful and fortunate I am to have a friendship with you in this period of your life, you know, and to witness this firsthand, because I am both privileged and unprivileged, and it's a weird dichotomy to ride, and I think we all are in a lot of ways, but like, you know, I have always been able to see the forest from the trees and the lessons, and also I've always had PTSD running the show as well, you know, and you never realize how much of a driving force it is until so much of your life just blows up, and the reset button is hit, and you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm in shambles. Like, I'm nothing. Yeah. Like,
and I have no tools to deal with.
Yes, this is it. Like, this is the bottom for me. And I'm so lucky that the way I bottomed out was so non-destructive to the people around me and was so redeemable to come back from. I'm so, so, so lucky and so, so fortunate. But it was still a deep bottom, and I have a lot of appreciation for that bottom now, and for other people and that path. And it's really sad that that's what has to be sometimes, is that bottoming out, you know, especially when addiction's involved. So, yeah, I don't know.
So can I ask you, so this is something that we had talked about on a previous episode, but this this year did result in you needing to seek out some pretty intensive support. Do you want to speak to that? You don't have to go into detail if you don't want to.
No, well, and I think it's fitting because I also, and I told you this, but I didn't say it off the air. I had my first therapy session recently, and it's not going to be something that gets to happen again for another month. But then after that month is over, I get to get the ball rolling on it. And I was reflecting, you know, because the first session of therapy is it's garbage. It's awful. It's awful every time. Because you're just spending an hour of like, here's all the things that are wrong with me. And then you have this person just like nod their head and be like, yeah, wow, that's a lot.
And they're over like doing a hash mark, one terrible thing, two terrible things, 20 terrible things, 21 terrible things.
Yeah. And then at one point she was like, so there's all these things. I can see the need. She's like, so where do you want to start? I was like, I don't freaking know where I want to start. That's such an interesting question. I have no idea. And I've thought a lot about that. But like, I have always struggled with SI. And for those who don't know, that's suicidal ideation. And it's just easier to abbreviate it. It's less triggering to abbreviate it. It's quicker to get through to people who struggle with it as well and be like, oh yeah, me too. I've always struggled with SI, and I've always struggled with like not wanting to deal with this crap. And like, why am I being forced to deal with this crap? Why do I have to keep going? I've also always struggled with the fact that I have had people constantly telling me that I don't have a hard life, but it constantly feels like I have had a hard life. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Who is saying this?
My mom mainly, but like, you know, well, family members.
We already know that that's rubbish.
Well, but like family members, and then also just constantly being surrounded by friends who, in my mind at the time, and obviously this is flawed thinking now, but objectively had it harder than me, you know? And of course, always somebody's always going to have it harder. But
and that's a trauma response, by the way.
I know it is.
And I'm very familiar with it.
Yeah, I know, but like, you know, having that, like, oh my gosh, all these people have it so much worse than me. My mom just constantly saying the reason I struggled as a teenager was just because I was a teenager, and everybody struggles when they're a teenager, which I also feel like is her erasing her trauma a little bit. But like, you know, this year things came through, realizations occurred, big huge revelations came about, and it was the first time in my life that I could no longer accept that I had to accept that I had a hard life. It was the first time in my life that I had to accept I have very severe CPTSD. Things absolutely happened to me. Mentally, I'm absolutely dealing with a lot. The fact that I'm on antipsychotics now, and I can feel it, like I can feel the change.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. This is good news.
It is good news, but it's also like this really, really bittersweet validation, because this entire time I thought I was just, everybody dealt with this. And I thought like, oh, I'm, the feelings of going crazy are just me internalizing it and me not reflecting on it well, and it's my fault. And now I have antipsychotics, and I can feel a little bit of the chaos in my mind start to smooth out a little bit. And it's like, holy cow, this whole time? Damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is like one of the most pivotal moments, because we are doing, we talked about this in the coping mechanisms episode, that we create all of these logic systems, but they're not logical and they're not very good systems, because when we invent them, we're kids. So we have all of these, oh, well, you know, everybody is feeling like this, or they have it so much worse, I should be more grateful, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Like, you just name like five of them in a row, you know, that it's yeah. your fault, and, you know, et cetera. And the moment that you have, whether it's a day or it's a remedy that lasts longer and is more significant, it changes, because for the first time you have perspective. And mm-hmm. this is one of the hardest things that people who don't, you know, have mental illness stuff to deal with is they don't know that we can't access that positive thinking place. It's not feasible for us. But to have that breakthrough moment where you do have it, where there is peace of mind for a day. I tell this to my friends, like, I'm like, I'm not going back. Like, I am not going back to the way things used to be in my head. Whatever it is that I have to do in order to maintain my copacetic zen-ness is what's going to happen, because it's the single most important thing. When people say like, oh, my sobriety is the most important thing, what they're saying is to have ownership and autonomy mm-hmm. and seniority in your life is the most important thing. And the way that an addict might have it is through sobriety. And the way that a person with mental illness might have it might be medication, and it might be meditation, and it might be therapy, and it's et cetera, et cetera. I am over the moon for you, because now that you know what that feels like, you can get back there. You know it's possible for you.
Yeah, definitely. And thank you. And I feel like I'm just scratching the surface of it for myself for the first time. Like, this door has just opened for me, and it's been very, very, very overwhelming and cathartic at the same time. You know, where you're just like, oh my gosh, there's all these things that I can do, and there's all these journeys that I haven't started yet. And do I want to bring it up? Yeah. I also, you know, a revelation about my traumatic past has come to light, and it shed a lot of, like, it just blew that door wide open of, oh my gosh, like, I have to start this journey and I have to start this work. And I think for so long, I was just treading water, you know, and I still am in a lot of ways. But, you know, to start to get those semblances of getting your feet on land, it's an indescribable thing. It's really, yeah. It's really powerful, you know, and it's something that I've always known was there and believed it, but I also had no idea how much I was actually dealing with in order to actually start doing that. But yeah.
And that's the other piece, right? Is once, some people talk a lot about like labels, like, is it better or worse to have labels, et cetera, et cetera. And in my opinion, it's what's most betterest is to have a place to start. And sometimes that place to start is the thing, you know, the trauma, or it's somebody being able to say, hey, your brain operates in this kind of way, and we call it ADHD. And then you're like, okay, like, it may not be the thing, it may not be all the things, but at least it's a place to start. And I also feel that once that has come forward, maybe not the first time, maybe not the second time, maybe the third time, you're now ready to like take in the remedy. We were talking about, like, you know, with addiction, that backsliding is part of the process. And I also feel that once you kind of know trauma sources, you know, it's going to take a minute, and there's going to be great months and great years. And then maybe something else comes in, and then there's this other, but by the time you get to there, you're going to have built the foundation and the tools and the strength that when it comes up again, it's not going to destroy your life. And I think that's mm-hmm. one of the things that Gen Xers and baby boomers have always struggled with, is like, because something would come forward from their past and they would have zero capacity to deal with it. There's nobody to talk to about it. And that was it. Divorces, and, you know, like all of a sudden your personality is completely different. You leave everything behind because you can't figure out how to deal, you know, with that pain of, because you were coping with the pain before, but you weren't thriving.
Yeah.
And then when you look at it face to face, if you don't have some support around it, like it really can end your life.
Well, and I feel like, you know, I'm very lucky that I'm able to reflect so much, and I get that that's not something everybody is able to do. And also, I think
you're Pisces and a Cancer.
Sorry. Yeah, no, but like, I also think that those levels of self-reflection are absolutely something everybody can access in some ways. I think it's an equal part of they don't want to and they don't know that they need to. But I feel like one of the dangers of not self-reflecting constantly is things are going to happen. Those trauma wounds are going to open regardless of if you want them to or not. That's the point of life. That's what's going to happen. And, you know, who knows how long it's going to be, how long you're going to be able to tread water and cope, and how long you're going to just be able to autopilot before mm-hmm. something horrible comes up. And I feel like the longer you spend autopiloting, the more devastating that thing is going to be when it comes up, because it's just going to rewrite all those years, you know, and it's going to undo wow. all that time. And I feel like I get that it's hard for people to have these tough conversations with themselves. And I'm starting to understand that sometimes it might be impossible. And it's a very hard thing for me to fathom how it's impossible to do it. I'm still learning that. But getting to a point where you can just sit with yourself and honestly just sit down and say, okay, let's talk this out with myself, and seeing yourself as like a separate entity almost that you have to communicate with and you have to treat and you have to take care of and you have to think about and recognize, it is a learning skill. And I feel really blessed that that's something that came to me in this life naturally. I also think that maybe it's past life work that I've done before this life.
For sure.
But, you know, I don't know. I wish I knew how to help the people who don't know how to do that more, because I can't as a healer. Like, I can't heal you if you're not willing to heal.
Yeah. Oh, I used to get told that all the time. It's like, Trey, like, you know, you have to show up for this. Like, you have to. And I'd be like, no, I'm fine. And meanwhile, I step outside and light something on fire. Yeah. So that, yeah. that certainly takes, sorry, there's like 8 things that you said that I want to go back into. One of the things that I want to recognize the irony is we started this this episode talking about how much fun this podcast has been and what a joy it's been and how it's really brought this tremendous friendship forward. And, you know, to heck up with the podcast. I'm here for the conversation. I'm here for Jenny. Same. I'm just here to hang out with you. And then to also recognize that, you know, you're going through significant mental health issues. I'm coming out of significant mental health. I changed states, people, to try mm-hmm. to like figure out how to get a handle on things. And yet here we are still having some fun.
Yeah.
Which is a remarkably strange and very human capacity. And not all of us can get there. Obviously, those of us who are in the throes of significant depression, we see you and we know that that's not possible for you, and that you use whatever coping mechanisms that you have built for yourself. You know, like a lot of people watch a lot of Christmas movies around this time of year. And I think it's honestly just to try to stave off having a nervous breakdown. They're modulating their mood through media. And by the way, what else is storytelling except to change, you know, for you to figure out how best to change the way you are and the way you move through this life. So I'm thinking about all my friends, like, I know how well I'm doing each year based on how many Christmas movies I feel compelled to watch. And y'all, it's a banner year. I've only watched like 3, and it's almost Christmas, right?
Yeah. So, good shit.
We all have our barometers.
Yeah, definitely. That's such an interesting point. It brings up this meme that's going around right now, because A24, the studio, has two movies releasing on Christmas Day. Baby Girl with Nicole Kidman and then Nosferatu. Two movies that I'm very excited about, and all of the memes have been ditching Christmas dinner to go double feature Baby Girl and Nosferatu.
Nice. That is like, a great way to spend that holiday.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's just how people are coping. That's so good.
Vampires and BDSM. Which is kind of the same thing. It's the same movie. The like they're addressing movie. The same exact
they're
way.
The same movie.
Obsessive love. But hey, consensual, man. Go play, folks. Whatever it is that you do that helps you modulate, just do it safely and do it with consent.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow. Well, I don't know what else there is to say after that. No. We're going to need a review, I think, after, after you come back from that double feature.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not doing it. I actually am doing Christmas dinner. Oh. I almost went to see Nosferatu because the Alamo is doing a special thing where you get a coffin popcorn box and a little stuffed rat. And you go see it on Christmas. And I'm like, I would love to, but I don't think it'll work out like that. Maybe I should make it happen. But anyway, I think the point is that this year has been one of the best worst years of my life, you know, where so
that's
much
the title of this episode.
Yes, the best worst years of our lives. Yes. Where it's like, oh my gosh, so many horrible things happened to me this year, objectively terrible things. And so many cycles ended and began. But also I have this wonderful podcast with this wonderful new friend. And I have these newfound powers in myself and this newfound path that I absolutely had to dig through the crap to get to this point. That there was no other, you know, like thinking of, I can't believe I'm about to say this, thinking of Doctor Strange in Infinity War when he's looking at all the different realities for how this could have worked out. Like, this was the only way that I was going to get this job.
The only way.
This was the only reality.
But one thing I will say about when there's a phrase out there that like when the fire is hotter and bigger than the usual fires, the purity comes through that much stronger and faster. So there's a reason why they talk about an addiction. Like if you hit the bottom, then there's a bigger motivation for you to take action on behalf of yourself. Whereas before you just kind of floated and dealt. And I feel like a year like your year and we haven't really talked about like the last 4 years, but like certainly for me, I had three of the all-time shittiest years, and it just kept coming and it just kept coming. And on the far side of that, what I'm expecting is nothing short of miracles. I went through it. I'm still hanging in. I'm still having the conversations with everybody who has something to, you know, to pass on to me, some wisdom to pass on to me, some remedy to give me. But like, I'm not going back. And you should not have to go back because you did it, but you did it with awareness. You did it with self-love. You did it with grace. Darling, you don't have to go do that again.
Yeah, no, definitely not. We have just done so much for ourselves these past 4 years. You know, as a healer, there's just so much more that I want to know about your journey. And so much
it
more
sucked.
That I want. I know. I know it's the answer.
And now I just want to have a cigarette. I haven't had a cigarette in 3 years, and now I want to go smoke. No, I don't. I'm kidding.
I was like, I don't think I've ever heard you talk about smoking like that.
Oh God, I love smoking. Loved it.
I see it.
But when I was done, I was also done. Never have to go back.
I think that's how you brought it up before. But like, I don't know. Now that I have this true friendship with you, I'm excited to hear more about what you went through the past 3 years and when you're willing to share more of it. And you've shared a good amount of it. And so I definitely have empathy. But I'm also so grateful on the other end to have you here for, I'm hoping this isn't going to be a few years of this crap. I'm hoping that I got it all out of the way in 1 year, you know, and I guess I've been kind of dealing with it for 3 years, but like in terms of tangible events happening to me, this was the year for it. So I'm hoping that 2025 is just the seal for both of us that, you know, our lives are going to be better while the world and our society is slowly crumbling.
Well, as I can't remember who said it, but not everybody has to suffer. Okay, I choose to be one of the people who doesn't suffer because I also know I'm one of the people who chooses to help. So the further I can get out ahead of all of this, the more I'm going to be able to be of service to the people who are taking the hits.
Yeah. Yeah. And there you go. That's true.
We're both healers. We're both teachers.
Yeah, we are. Oh,
wow. Apparently we just had to be put into this position so that we could be well enough to, you know, try to throw the rope back.
Yeah, definitely. And I still have a lot to learn in terms of how to get ahead of this. But I'm willing now, which I think was my biggest lesson, is to be willing. So, yeah. Huzzah.
Wow, what a year. What a year, baby. This has been just one of the great joys of my life. So thank you again.
Yeah, thank
and
you.
Hey, let's do this some more in 2025, shall we?
Yay! End of season one. What a productive season one. We did so good.
As we say in the movie biz, that's a wrap. That's the champagne shot. All right, baby. Cheers.
Cheers. Meow, meow.
Meow, meow.